Thanks for tuning in to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Jean A. Youngblood. Since 2015, Dr. Youngblood has taken scores of questions and comments on the challenging issues of the day with a goal of informing and motivating listeners to examine the issues from a central biblicist worldview. Currently, this broadcast is heard on 5 regional stations, as well as 4 additional stations in Virginia. There's now a great opportunity to expand this vital ministry to other cities. We sincerely need your help to accomplish this mission. Your support of any amount is needed to take this next step in sharing God's truth in a relevant, lively, and timely way. Thanks for your willingness to support us in this broadcast as we prepare to face the issues on a broader scale.
Go to fcbcatjax.com and click the donate button or send your best gift to First Conservative Baptist Church, 12021 Old St. Augustine Road, Jacksonville, Florida, 32258. Attention radio. Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Jean A. Youngblood is brought to you by First Conservative Baptist Church. Now let's get back to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Jean A. Youngblood.
Ladies and gentlemen, we have the pleasure of talking with Congressman Mike Hill today, former District 1 representative, Republican representative in the state of Florida. Congressman Hill is a staunch, avid conservative and a Christian, a Republican, but stands for biblical truth. And I'm thankful to have the Congressman on with us today. Congressman, we're talking about some of the lies that we've been told by those in leadership. And we're on the subject of Dr. Fauci and those constituents around him and the media and the mob called the Socialist Marxist Democratic Party and how they've lied to us. I'm looking at an article, Congressman, that says California County COVID-19 death toll lowered by 400 after the counting method change, dated June the 6th, 2021. The number of COVID-19 deaths in Alameda County, California, fell by 25% after health officials changed the methodology for a totaling mortality count, removing deaths that weren't direct results of the disease. In fact, it goes on to talk about some of the deaths that had been that had taken place by gunshot or motorcycle deaths, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And they had overcounted them because they had rated them all as COVID. And now that they're going back and correcting the record, this article states, we just weren't able to move quickly enough on this as we would like to have moved. And so we felt it was important to go back and correct the numbers. Well, I find it antithetical to truth, and I believe that it was far more than just a, an accident to overrate and overcount. And, Congressman, I personally believe that this has happened across the nation, with especially in the blue states and the blue counties, where there was an overcounting right here in the state of Florida, as you perhaps are aware of. We had a number of events where, on one occasion in central Florida, where I believe it was something like 33% were overcounted as COVID deaths. I'm looking at another article on the same subject. Counted that counted car crashes and motorcycle wrecks and gunshots as COVID deaths, find it inflated the virus death toll by 25%. It is antithetical to truth. We're talking about today, ladies and gentlemen, as we look at the subject, truth or consequences. We're finding lie after lie after lie, and the question is, what should the consequences be? Congressman Hill, when we look at these counties and states and municipalities that are going back now correcting the record, we've been lied to, what should the consequences be in these for these county officials, for these bureaucrats, and what they have done? Now that it's receding and they see the handwriting on the wall with the numbers coming to light and they're going back and basically protecting themselves by cleaning up the record, how should we view that? What should the family members see and think that have lost loved ones in the with the COVID tragedy? And now we're seeing the deceit that has taken place on a national level. How should we respond, and what should we think, and what should the consequences be, in your opinion, Congressman?
Well, Dr. Youngblood, this correction, even though what you read was a recent article, is not new. We knew this last year.
That's right.
They were overcounting the COVID death. I think I read an article somewhere that it was actually only about 9% of the total deaths that had been counted were actually from COVID. So why were they doing this? And, you know, we mentioned those who have been lying to us about this, including Dr. Fauci, the World Health Organization. We need to include in that the Center for Disease Control also. They have been complicit in this line of not telling the truth. And what we are seeing is that why would they do that? Well, first of all, part of it was funding. We know that when someone was admitted into the hospital for a broken arm, the hospital received so much funding, either from the state or federal level. But if COVID was attached to it, they received up to three times the amount of funding. So they had an economic incentive to label as much as they could as COVID. And we saw last year, Dr. Youngblood, for the first time that I can remember, we didn't have a flu season. No one caught the flu last year. But
that's right.
It disappeared. And how that happened, I don't know. But COVID took over everything. Now, what should be the consequences of that? If I were, in my position, I own an insurance agency. If I intentionally deceived my customers as to what their policy would do and did it several times and it resulted in negative consequences to my customers, I would lose my agency and would lose my insurance license, because I have shown that I cannot be responsible in telling the truth that when the truth is needed. The same thing should be held to those who have intentionally lied, who have intentionally withheld the truth from us. They should lose their license, and they should lose their positions, because they have demonstrated that they are not responsible enough, that are not displaying the fiduciary responsibility necessary to hold those positions.
Absolutely. And Congressman Hill, for the benefit of our listening audience, you alluded to those in high positions of the deception. You're familiar with, I'm sure, Lancet Medical Journal. And in the Lancet Medical Journal, there are 26 scientists that sent a letter to them, and it was published and was used then by Dr. Fauci as pointing to what the major scientists were saying. And 26 scientists, so-called scientists, sent an affidavit / letter to the Lancet Journal to be published that definitively stated in their statement that this was a germ or a pathogen that was from animal to humans, was not engineered, and therefore anything that would contend it was engineered was a some type of theory and was not true and was to be out of hand rejected. And every time Fauci would be questioned, he would turn to the Lancet Journal and use that. Now we've discovered that he knew it. The 26 scientists that sent the letter or affidavit in said that they had done it at the behest of World Health Organization and of the NIH, because if the truth were to be known, they would lose future funding for research, and they did not want to lose the funding, so they were protecting their funding by sending a lie to the Lancet Medical Journal, which was then published, which was then used by NBC, MSNBC, ABC, CNN, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, to prove that anybody that said otherwise were just simply going by some conspiracy theory. I'm looking at an article that says Fauci is the mastermind of the cover-up for COVID-19. And it goes on in detail talking about he was the mastermind in the cover-up. So this writer says somebody needs to grab him by the nape of the neck, drag him to Capitol Hill, put him in the hot seat, end quote. Then let Rand Paul and everybody else have at him, get to the bottom of this. There's blood on the man's hands. He is not a hero. He is not a saint. And all that we got from this was criticism, this writer says, when we tell the truth. So we're talking about truth, our consequences. I've got another article, Congressman, I'll ask you to respond to it. You're in the state of Florida, and I'm in the state of Florida. We're thankful for our governor and what he is doing. Here's the article, says, major win against vaccine passports. Cruise line reverses its ruling after Governor DeSantis lays down the law. And, of course, as you know, Governor DeSantis has said that, I'm reading in this article now, according to the Miami Herald, under the new law, any company, schools, or government entity conducting business in the state will be fined $5,000 each time they ask any customer to furnish proof of a vaccination. It goes into effect July the 1st. Royal Caribbean, the cruise lines, have decided to, of course, go back into operation. They have been on stalled because of CDC for over a year. And Royal Caribbean, this article says, argued that because such large numbers of people are confined to a limited space in the cruise, it was only fair that it be granted exemption from the law. But DeSantis refused to back down on May the 28th news conference. He told reporters, "We're going to enforce Florida law. You don't say pass a law and then not enforce it against the corporations. That doesn't work," he said. On Friday, the cruise line handed the governor a big win, agreeing to comply with the Florida law. How do you respond to that, and what do you say in response to it?
Well, first of all, I want to thank Governor DeSantis for declaring that vaccine passports were not going to be required in Florida. But then going that step further, I said if you were going to try and enforce that, it was going to be a fine. Now, when it says that the cruise lines give the governor a big win and back down, they had no choice. I mean,
that's
if they
right.
were going to remain in operation, that's what they had to do. It all boils down to their bottom line. They lost a ton of money last year because of the restrictions, because of COVID. I need to add this, Dr. Youngblood, if I may.
Yes.
You know, I've traveled quite a bit, and I fly when I do, and it is becoming such a travail to travel because, first, the TSA requires you to wear those stupid masks everywhere in the airport, even when you're sitting waiting for your flight by yourself, no one near you within 20 feet, they want you to wear those stupid masks. But then when you get on the plane, they are demanding you wear that mask and even put it on between bites and taking drinks of water or whatever you're drinking. And I was trying to figure out why on earth are these airlines so adamant about this? And then I discovered it by reading an article not too long ago. These airlines were bailed out big time by the federal government. They were given billions of dollars because of what they lost during the COVID lockdowns. And in order to receive that money, they had to go along with this ruse that you must wear a mask everywhere that you go. And so what we need to do is get these airlines, along with these cruise line industries, away from this nonsense and this lie that masks are needed, that vaccine passports are needed. Again, I applaud Governor DeSantis for doing that. And Florida is a great state to be in. And those companies had to do that because it was going to affect their bottom line in even a bigger way.
Absolutely. In fact, as I go into places of business, see someone as a clerk or someone behind the cash register with a mask on, I say, "Why are you wearing that?" And they say, "Well, the company tells me I've got to." And then I say, "Well, you realize we're not a slave state anymore. We're a free state. You don't have to wear that mask." They said, "Well, what am I supposed to do?" I said, "Quit. Find another job. Find a place where you're not forced to destroy your health in order to work." Congressman, one other item, and then we'll switch to another thought about the consequences of lying and telling the truth is needed. It says, Cleveland Clinic, no need to vaccinate people who had COVID. And, you know, Dr. Fauci has been touting the fact that even if you have had COVID, you still need to be vaccinated. And this is a major mega finding. It's about a 5-page article of the finding, dated June the 9th of this year, contradicting the claims of Dr. Fauci and the FDA. A study by the prestigious Cleveland Clinic concluded that there is no need to vaccinate people who have been infected with the virus that caused COVID-19. The study found individuals with previous SARS-CoV-2 infection do not get additional benefits from vaccination, according to the article. Fauci, the White House coronavirus advisor, recently told Business Insider that vaccines are better than the traditional response you get from a natural infection, end quote. And everyone should get a COVID shot, whether you have had it or not. But the Cleveland Clinic study found no evidence of COVID-19 in incidents between previously infected and vaccinated participants. Not a single incident of SARS-CoV-2 infection was observed in previously infected participants with or without the vaccination. So more and more, what we're finding is that we've been lied to by Dr. Fauci for some 18 months. We've been deceived by CDC for some 18 months. And so it goes back to the question, truth or consequences. And I believe the consequences are, if nothing else, Congressman, I believe that what we're finding is the total loss of any integrity in the so-called scientific, medical scientific world, and a total loss, if anyone had any confidence in the media to begin with. But Congressman Hill, let me ask you a further question. We have nationally been lied to. We've been told to believe, not to believe our eyes, that Joe Biden is really the elected president. And today we have some five or six states, the battleground states as they're called, that are still going through the analyses of the voting and the voting audits and the voting ballots and the examination of the Dominion voting machines and hand counting of the ballots. And it's Arizona and Georgia and Wisconsin and Nevada and some of the other states. They're finding horrific, serious evidence of voter fraud, outside manipulation of the Dominion voting machines. In fact, I was just totally taken aback to find some major evidence now surfacing in Pennsylvania and in Arizona, where they have discovered that the voting machines were remotely controlled via the Internet. Tell us just briefly, and then we'll take our next caller. Tell us just briefly, Congressman Hill, what you know about some of the things taking place now with the examination of the voting machines in some of these states, with the recounting of the ballots, with the auditing of the voting system in those states, and what are some of the findings?
Well, we are finding, Dr. Youngblood, that indeed that election was stolen. I call him a hero, a modern-day hero, and that's Mike Lindell of MyPillow, who has spent a tremendous amount of his own money and time and has documented the election fraud that has taken place with the Dominion machines. And then I applaud those out in Arizona, those members of the Republican Party who demanded a recount, and the Democrats were so much against it that they brought an army of lawyers into the state to try and stop it. The only reason they will want to try and stop it is because they know that fraud existed and they don't want it exposed. If they didn't think there was any fraud at all, they would say, okay, go ahead, recount. But they know what's going to be found. And then there were the lawmakers from Pennsylvania, the state lawmakers who went to Arizona to observe how Arizona was conducting this recount so they can then do the same thing back in Pennsylvania. And what we are finding is the recount is going on, is nearing its end now. They're more than past the halfway mark. And I don't think that they've have released any results yet. But I think what we're going to see, Dr. Youngblood, is that there was indeed massive fraud that took place. We are seeing it even in Texas. Texas is showing that there was a fraud that was taking place in one of the counties there. And I think, Dr. Youngblood, that any county in our nation that used those Dominion voting machines and some of the others, that there was fraud involved in those elections.
Absolutely. In fact, I'm looking at a massive article that says anonymous remote login impacted election system after vote was completed. And this article goes on to state, and it's dated June the 9th of this year, and it goes on to state what is taking place. And this article in part says, we've been lied to. The Antrim County Election Management System, EMS, was remotely and successfully logged into anonymously on November the 5th, 2020 at 5:55 p.m. and again on November the 17th, 2020 at 5:16 p.m. Yes, that is correct. Remotely activated, and the votes changed and added to the ballots. And it goes on to talk about what they have just discovered had been done. And then in Georgia, it says why a judge has Georgia says Georgia vote fraud on his mind. Pristine Biden ballots that were Xeroxed. Congressman, they found in Georgia thousands upon thousands. In fact, I believe the number, if I can glance through the article here, up into the multiple thousands. The new election watchdog have issued, said the affidavits to help convince a state judge to unseal all 147,000 mail-in ballots in Fulton County and allow closer inspection, because they have found that Biden, of course, won by supposedly 12,000 votes, but they have found at least 20,000 ballots that were Xeroxed, just photoed, photocopied ballots. Take one ballot and run 20,000 of them, and that's what they're now discovering in Georgia. I believe we have a call on the line. Give me the question or comment, please.
Hey, Dr. Youngblood, Congressman Hill, it's a pleasure to be here with y'all today.
Thank you so much. Go ahead with your question.
Got a couple of points I want to put out there for our listeners. In regards to COVID, we now know for a fact that hydroxychloroquine and ivermectin are efficient treatments for the Wuhan flu.
Yes.
Now, what I want our listeners to know is just how many of these people who died from this flu died because they were not given efficient treatment and instead were placed into a coma and intubated. Now, if you've ever seen an intubation, it's very violent. It's very, very uncomfortable for the person involved. And I could see where that could actually do more harm than good in that area. As for Dr. Fauci, you know, the media has put him up on a pedestal, made him a cult-like leader. And just the worship and the praise that this man gets, the same man who in the 80s put families on edge and put them in fear of saying that the AIDS epidemic could be spread through their kids and into their houses and into their families.
That's right.
Is anything that this pandemic, or as I like to call it, a scamdemic or a plandemic, has taught me is that my peers, even some of my friends, coworkers, anybody else around me would turn me in and report me to the authorities just because the TV told them to do so.
Mm-hmm. You're exactly right. Congressman, how do you respond to our caller statements?
Well, he was spot on. And it's a shame that what we have is we find that in totalitarian governments, socialist governments, dictatorships, that one thing they operate on is fear. We see that in North Korea. We see it in communist China. We see it in Venezuela, Cuba, and we saw it in the Russian Soviet Empire, that they operate on fear. And the fear comes not only from the government, but also from your own fellow citizens who will turn you in. And they will turn you in because they don't want to be turned in. And so that's what we're seeing now with, as the caller just mentioned, that he has to be concerned about coworkers who might turn him in to the authorities. Thank goodness, I hope the caller was from Florida. He doesn't have to worry about that here in Florida.
Yes, that's right.
It could cost him his job if, as you say, Dr. Youngblood, you went into the place of business, they were wearing a mask, and why? Because they told me I have to. Well, if that worker decided to take their mask off, someone could turn them in and they could lose their job. No, but then I think they would have a very valid lawsuit to protect themselves also. What we have to understand, Dr. Youngblood, and your listeners understand, is that we have not been given a spirit of fear by Amen. God, but of love, power, and a sound mind. Do not let fear dictate your actions. Fear is not a normal human emotion. It is an evil spirit that can be given to you or that you will accept. Do not accept a spirit of fear.
Amen. You're exactly right, brother. Preach on, as I say. In fact, touching on our caller's statement, some of the latest research by some major scientists and scientific minds make the statement, and I quote, between 200 and 400,000 people died as a result of not being administered hydroxychloroquine and other medications that would have, in fact, saved and preserved their lives. So truth or consequences. The truth is that was done, I believe, intentionally in order to market the Moderna and Pfizer and Johnson & Johnson vaccines with the mega hundreds of billions of dollars being paid for by the federal government rather than a 30 cents per tablet that would have saved their lives. But Congressman, we have been lied to, and I'm wanting our listeners to understand that we are now, as a people and as a nation, recognizing, because the lies are being uncovered and we're being shown the truth as to who said what, when, and where that's brought this about. But going back to the ballots and looking at the one that I just stated prior to taking our caller, where in the state of Georgia, where the fraud and the judge now has discovered, and he has ruled on it and making the decision that they can open those ballots, unseal them, and examine each and every one of the ballots, 147,000 mail-in ballots, because so many of them being Xeroxed. And the one that discovered that discovered the little bubbles where you circle in your vote. Each bubble had a little white spot in the center, which is indicative of a printing press putting it in and not an ink pen putting it in. And I find it fascinating that when properly examined, these ballots are being discovered to be fraudulent. Here's one, too, that says voting machines in one American county not accepting ballots. All 77 voting precincts in Fayette County, Pennsylvania, reported issues with ballots being rejected when voters attempted to perform their civic duty in the voting process. I'm a Republican. I went in, and they go on to talk about how they cast the ballot, and the ballot then that they cast for Republican candidates immediately went to Democratic candidates and to Joe Biden. So we've been lied to about COVID, been lied to about the source of the COVID, been lied to about the need to wear a mask. We've been lied to extensively about the voting that took place in 2020. Now, Congressman, in about a minute we've got left, knowing that we've been lied to, knowing that eventually the truth will come out in relationship to these recounting of the ballots in the battleground states, what do you see? Will there be a fix? Can it be fixed? We've got about 30 seconds to respond. Our time is out. How would you respond to that?
Dr. Youngblood, if there's to be any justice at all in the United States, in this world, that election has to be fixed. I think what we're going to see with this inspection going on of these ballots, that there was fraud. And that being the case, we must fix it. We must correct what was done and punish those who are responsible, to make an example that we will not tolerate this again in the future.
Absolutely. Congressman Hill, thank you for joining us today. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for tuning in to Let's Face the Issues. Looking forward to meeting you next time on the air as, once again, we face the issues.
9 to 9:45 p.m. for expository preaching on 91.3, 91.7, and 91.9 FM. You are invited to worship with them 9:30 a.m. Sunday for Bible study, 10:45 a.m. Sunday morning worship service, 7 p.m. evening worship service, or 7 p.m. Wednesday fellowship meal Bible study. Prayer, Bible Q&A, and updates on issues facing our city, state, and country. Tune in again for another Let's Face the Issues broadcast. Also tune in the same station Saturday mornings at 9 for expository Bible preaching by Dr. Youngblood. Remember, a rebroadcast of this program can be heard in its entirety 9 p.m. on 100.3 FM and 93.3 HD3. You're also invited to tune in Sunday mornings at 8 a.m. on Talk 100.3 for expository preaching. Tune in and invite others to listen.